Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. It's my pleasure. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for the business. Thank you for the food. We got our good friend Beverly Inmanibo with us, and she is the author of Talk Is Not Cheap, and her own company is one of the top communications organizations in the country. As I told you before, she's our top communication expert in the Brain Trust, and our good friend Beverly Inmanibo. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be here, as always.
It's good to have you back. I keep thinking about the Simon and Garfunkel song.
Which one? Yes,
The Sound of Silence.
People
talking without speaking without talking. No, it was people talking without speaking, and people hearing without listening. And that, how's it go? And that's I know the last part's right. People hearing without listening.
Right, people hearing listening, without listening.
Listening without hearing, or something like that. Anyway, it's basically what the foreman, the guy's name, Strother Martin on Cool Hand Luke, when he played the captain of the chain gang. What he said to Cool Hang Luke when they just got through, you know, lashing him, he said, "What we have here is a failure to communicate."
I remember the quote.
And so one of the things that happens, there's a lot of words spoken in the world, but not all of them land because either I don't speak them where I don't communicate my words well enough, or maybe I do, and you need to hear them, but you don't listen.
That's true.
And that's the issue, isn't it? It's one of the issues with human beings, isn't it?
It certainly is. We spend about 40% of our day listening. I'm talking about the workday.
Yeah.
So listening to your customer needs, listening to your employees, listening to your vendors. And are we earning that 40%? You know, that's close to half of your day that you spend listening. So at TLC, we have created a bi-hemisphere listening perception test.
Bi-hemisphere. You're going to talk about my brain, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the brain, the right and the left side of the brain. Because everybody thinks that listening is being able to spit out the words that they heard you use.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand that those words come through a whole bunch of filters. So what you recorded most likely was your filtering of what the person said, not actually what they said. And then there's a whole right hemisphere that normally gets ignored in listening, and that's how did the person say it, their body language, their tone of voice.
How did it impact us emotionally?
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
Huge. There are so many miscommunications. One problem that people have when they miscommunicate, I was working with some clients yesterday, and they were talking about something technical. I was working with them on giving presentations, and I didn't understand what they were saying. One time the person said it, another time the person said you, and I said, oh, you never want to, you know, accuse someone in the audience. She said, no, I didn't mean that was the you I meant. So, you know, I tell clients, stay away from words that don't carry as much information, like pronouns. Go ahead and use the noun. Instead of you, say the technology research. Instead of saying it, call it what it is.
When I write things, and sometimes, you know, when I have people to edit for me, you know, they want to take out things because they say it's redundant, and I say sometimes redundancy is what you want, right?
I was using a very effective pause because I was listening. Yeah.
Well,
redundancy is.
But see, that's a problem on radio, though Beverly. But anyway, no, seriously, I think you know, redundancy is okay in a lot of places because, as you say, especially if you're trying to create to get a message across, especially if it's a brand or a technical term, it's okay to use it more than once because it's what you want to land on people's ears.
I think when you're talking to the masses, you need to. There's so much bombarding their senses. I think when people object to that is if they're giving you what they consider their undivided attention, and if they hear you repeat something, then they can become a little frustrated or annoyed because I've already got that.
Right.
So, you know, in a conversation, you need to watch the body language, and you get a read of whether they're getting it or not. And if there's a doubt, you can ask them. You can say, okay, so, you know, in your own understanding, what's a concept that I'm trying to throw on the wall here? And then listen carefully. See if they got the big points.
Mm-hmm.
But you want them using their words, not your words.
Have you ever haven't you been fascinated by things that you remember that somebody said a long time ago and you still remember? What made us remember that?
A dime.
A dime?
10 cents. Mm-hmm.
Tell
this girl, Donna, in third grade, she borrowed a dime from me. And she said, I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back. That was
yeah.
that.
And she never did.
She didn't say tomorrow. She didn't say Wednesday or I would have gone up. Third grade. And we're talking, you know, 50 years ago, I still remember Donna. And Donna, I'm being gracious. I'm not saying your last name because you may still live in the state of Ohio. Owes me 10 cents.
And so, but now it's because she was clear about when she would pay you back, or wasn't clear, I should say, wasn't specific. She can, theoretically, she's still okay though, right?
Right, she still could pay me back. But Don, if you're listening and you went to West Carrollton school system, then
but
you owe
me a dime. What made you remember that? What was the trigger? What was the thing that made you remember that?
She sounded so sincere. First of all, I trusted her. And back then, you know, a dime was a pretty big deal.
That was my allowance.
Uh-huh. And so as I put it in her palm, she looked me right in the eyes, and as she's closing her fingers and I'm seeing my dime disappear, my attention is drawn to her face, and she said, I'll pay you back.
And so, but I think the thing that made this stick in your mind was the money. It was your money.
Of course it was.
And so my point, here's the reason I asked that question. As you're making a presentation, a sales call or a proposal presentation or a speech or whatever you're doing, you know, we got to figure out how to say the words in such a way that when people remember you and remember what you said, they remember what you want them to remember.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah,
later.
Hold on to that thought. I'm going to get you to help us with that when we come back on the other side of these messages. Because I'm anxious to hear her answer, folks, because I've got to make a proposal, a pretty big proposal in a few days. And I could use a little help here. Even though I've done about a million of these, I can always get a little bit better. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Here's Van Morrison to take us out.
I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know, touch the sound of silence.
Good job, Roger. Here we go, folks.
And you'll take it like I saw 10,000 people, maybe more.
Here it comes, folks, right here.
People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening.
Who says we don't have production value on the Small Business Advocate Show? Good job, Raj. Welcome back, folks. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. There is the lilting voices of Paul Simon and Arthur Garfunkel, of Simon and Garfunkel fame. And folks, we're visiting with Beverly and Medieval. That's what we've been talking about, the communication thing. People talking without speaking, people listening with hearing without listening. And Beverly, by the way, give us the website before we go any further.
It's talklisten.com.
All right.
I'm so impressed that Roger was listening to you.
Roger, listen, he hangs on my every
and
word.
And found that song.
How about that? Yeah, we have production value here on the Small Business Advocate Show.
We all need a Roger in our lives. Someone
that's exactly. He's almost like a wife, only not quite so cute. But
yeah.
Anyway, so we're talking about communicating, folks, and I was talking in the previous segment about making presentations, making sales calls. How do we communicate the words that we want to say so that the things that we want them to hear, they hear and they remember? So how do we do that?
Well, you need to set them apart. And remember the example I gave right before the break about the reason I remembered Donna still owes me a dime from third grade is she looked me right in the eye and she slowed it down. I mean, I've analyzed. I've had enough time to analyze this. I'll pay you back. The slowing it down.
I think there might be some therapy called for here, maybe too.
I'll probably have lots of people send me dimes like, get over it, woman. Move on. But when you get to something, like if it's a price or if it's a particular feature, when you get to that part, you want to slow down. And you can, if you pause right after a word, what it does is it greatly increases the sincerity. It allows the listener to encode that message and therefore remember it better.
Mm-hmm.
And it increases the chances that they're going to get it, remember it, and believe you.
See, I have this happens on this show. People will, and I've done it to you. I know. In the last several years, we've been doing the show together. People will come on the show and they'll talk about something. And they'll say something that they think is important, but it's sort of in the way that they're delivering it. And I'll say, okay, wait, stop. Say that last part again, because I know that what they just said is really important. But because they didn't pause, or because they didn't make it a little more emphatic, I was afraid it was going to slip by. And I would say something like, stop, say that again. Okay, folks, this is going to be on the test. And that's been my way of getting something into people's heads.
Usually when we're talking to someone, let's say a customer, and we're really excited about a new product, a new service, something that we know is a good fit for them. When we get excited, we talk louder and faster, and women talk a little bit in a higher pitch. None of that is conducive for listening. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to not slow the entire thing down, but you need to go slowly enough that you can put some pauses in, especially at key points where you're going to make a difference. And those key points typically, believe it or not, are on verbs, which are action words, mm-hmm. and on adjectives, which are the things that would be describing whether something is, you know, workable or fantastic or revolutionary.
Well, and another one of our speech experts says to emphasize the consonants. And for example, if one of the big things about your product is it's long lasting, say, and this product is long lasting. In other words, emphasize the consonants at the beginning of the word. What do you think about that?
Well, I know that I'm an old speech language pathologist. The vowels carry the 80 some percent of the information.
Except that a lot of the important words that we want don't start with vowels.
They don't start with vowels, but in the word long, what you actually prolonged was the vowel, the
"ong." Right, right.
But I did hear the L, a little bit.
Longer lasting. But anyway.
Now, as with anything, don't overdo and don't do it too much, because it'll come across as artificial, and sincerity is going to be your best card when you are striving to get someone to listen to you. So be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Be your best self.
That's a good suggestion. Got about a minute left, Beverly.
Well, I want to talk about this bi-hemisphere listening test that I've created and that we are going about. We're starting here in the Southeast, going to companies and just saying, hey, do you want to know how well your leaders are listening? We go in and we are testing people. We're gathering research, and it's a video that we show, and then they take a quick test. And most people think they're really good listeners, and sometimes they're surprised to find out, well, you really are good in this area, but in this area or that area, you know, there's room for improvement.
How can we find out about this test?
You can go to our website, talklisten.com, or please give us a call if you'd like us to come and give this test to you. And it's a toll-free number. It's 888-BECAUSE. I don't even know my own number.
You didn't listen to your own phone number, did you? 888-BECAUSE, and it's talklisten.com is the website, right?
That's right.
And can we get a little information about it on that website?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
It's called the Listening Challenge.
There you go. Hey, thanks for being here, Beverly. As always, good job.
Thank you, Jim.
Beverly Inman Eba, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best, as you well know. Got to take a quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be right back with Arky C.N. Cuddy.
I know. Oh, 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 oh.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.